Bismillah, alhamdulillah. Actually, this is a very good question, important question. Here, the scholar said, we not allowed to decide who's among the 27 sects. No, this 73, one in the paradise, but I'm talking about the 72 now. The 72, the scholar was not involved to say this name of group is among the 27. The 72. That's not the way of Al-Sunnah. Al-Sunnah never be aware or trying to decide the Sufi among them or not. It's not the way of Al-Sunnah. This hadith, we keep it general to be afraid from bid'ah, not to decide or to label the groups. It's a very important, because many people they misunderstand the hadith. He looked today, we having a group of Mu'tazila, Ash'ara, you are from that, you are in the hellfire. No, that's not right. It's not in Ahl Sunnah way at all. That hadith, we keep it general for to make the people afraid from committing bid'ah. Afraid to get away from the way of the Sunnah. Exactly like the Prophet ﷺ said, that the woman who's not wearing the hijab or making tabarruj, then hellfire. You're not allowed to go in the street or in our neighbor, sister in the hellfire. Sister is not in the hellfire. Sister, you know, that's not. You keep it general to make people afraid from the ma'siyah, afraid from committing this. It's first point. Second point, it basically, you will understand, it will answer your question. Since the scholars, they've not been trying to account the 73, because there is no, this is not their way, the 72. There's no benefit for them from doing this. Therefore, they never bother themselves to see it's 72 or 76 or, you know what I mean? Because it's not, you cannot see this in their methodology, in their way when they write the Sharrah, the one who explained the hadith. They were not trying to see who is the 72 deviant or the going to the hellfire. You cannot find that. They give example of a groups which is create the fitna in the ummah, such as Shia, such as Khawarij, such as Murji'ah, such as Jahmiyyah. It's a group. We don't need to go through them right now. But this is the it's a very important point. The third, also regarding this, some scholars said, even it's not 73, it means in Arabic there's something called al-adad la mafhum lah. The fi shayf al-arabi yusamma al-adad ish. يعني ايش لا مفهوم له؟ قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حد الساحر ضربة بالسيف. يعني ما ينفع ضربتين؟ لا، العدد لا مفهوم له في لغة العرب، بمعنى انه لا يقصر العدد. That in Arabic language sometimes the number it doesn't mean to be that certain number. You're like 70, it means many people. 72, it means so many in the hellfire and only one will be survived. That could be one of the way the scholars understood the hadith. It's been one of the way the scholars al-Sunnah comment in that hadith. The last point I would like to mention, which is something foundations or fundamentals to understand this hadith. This hadith, it doesn't mean that these groups are kafir at all. It doesn't mean that at all. It just exactly like when you said you will be punished in the hellfire if you look to the haram, if you eat from haram. It doesn't mean because you look the haram you became kafir. The Prophet ﷺ said as-sariqu fi an-nar, al-qatilu fi an-nar, al-zani fi an-nar, the thief in the fire, the man who make adultery in fire. It doesn't mean the thief is kafir. No, the killer is kafir. It doesn't mean that. It means just to show you the dangers of this. It might lead you to the hellfire. And one of this group, he might has another good deeds, will save him from going to the hellfire. He might, somebody make intercession to him, he's been saved from the hellfire. He might have some hardship in this life, will it consider as a sin. Bid'ah, basically it's a kind of sin. Sin is the general, bid'ah is a special, smaller circle. So this is sin. It may Allah, maybe Allah will forgive it to him. He said, I forgive you this sin. You see? So this is the last point I would like to mention. And also, we can add to this one important point, that this is a general rule, not for a such individual people. Individual people, no. We don't go by this. Because, for example, there's many scholars, they are claim that they belong to this group or that group, but they are good. They are Ahl Sunnah. They have some mistakes, and they did this by ijtihad, and Allah forgave their ijtihad. And for the Sufis especially, the word Sufism is not a word can fit everyone. Sufism is different groups. Some of the Sufism start in Basra. The word, the Sufiya start when it start in Al-Basra. Inshallah, I'm having a special lecture about the Sufism itself, because it's a very interesting topic. It starts in Basra because a lot of Zuhad were in Basra. So it starts like this. A good people, a people among Ahl Sunnah start. Then it turned to be changed a little bit to add some bid'ah to the deen. Then it ends to a level where people are kuffar, more than the Jewish, more than the Christians, some of them, like As-Sahrawardi, Ibn al-Hallaj, Ibn al-Farid, Ibn Sab'een. One of them said, Subhani ma a'azam ashani, al-jannatu li'batu subyani. One of them, he says, Subhan myself, make the tasbih to himself, the Jannah is a toy for my children. One of them said, I ask Allah to let me enter to the fire. God said, I cannot. He said, why? He said, because if I let you enter to the hellfire, it will turn to be a garden. How I will punish the kuffar in the garden? قال فأبى علي ربي قال لأني لو أدخلتكها لجعلتها حشيشا أخضر وكان حقا علي أن أعذب عبادي فيها. You see, it reached to that level. الحلاج this man قال في أبيات المشهورة قال العبد رب والرب عبد يا ليت شعري من المكلف إن قلت رب فذاك عبد وإن قلت عبد أن يكلف إن قلت عبد فذاك رب وإن قلت رب أن يكلف. ولذلك لما جاء الحارس سبحان الله شوف الضلال لما جاء الحارس يأخذ طاحة الجبة فلكز الحارس اللي يأخذه بكتفه وقال ما في الجبة إلا الله. شوف الضلال. That الحلاج said, oh God is the slave, the slave is God. Oh, but if the slave is God, how I will ask him to pray? God, he will never pray for us. And some of their statement reached to say Musa was wrong when he said to Fir'aun, you are kafir. Because Fir'aun, he realized that he's a part of God, and Musa never realized that fact. And this is not from my pocket, not from imagination. That in the books, which is today the main book for the Sufism, like Tabaqat al-Sha'rani, like Qut al-Qulub, Ibn Arabi. That their books. It's not from anyone. Inshallah, I have a special lecture about so from their books. I'm not going to bring anything from Ahl Sunnah's books. You can see their books full of things. It reached to a level not acceptable. So be careful when you use the word Sufism, because Sufism, it might reach to a level cover. It might meant by Sufism a good people who is away from dunya, who is trying to treat themselves in a way to be a good Muslim. But we will tell them, don't use this word without explaining the meaning, so people will not misunderstand you when you say he or Sufi or something like that. The book about the Sahaba radiallahu anhu,
In English, I didn't know. In Arabic, I can tell you one of the best books is Siyar al-Am al-Nubala.
It's an excellent question. And subhanAllah, I was going to comment on it just after the Salat, even though I said if nobody talk about it, I have to mention it. Because it's a very delicate matter, as the doctor said. Here, some people thought when we said the way of the Sahaba, it means a very small circle. Therefore, we have people been exist in our world, make the deen whatever, يعني related, they thought deen is just 200 issues, that's it, you cannot add to it anymore. So everything new is bid'ah, everything new is bid'ah. At other people, when they look at it, at they thought the Sahaba's way, it's very small circle, they said we should cancel it because it doesn't fit with our life, with the new life, so they cancel it. And both group, they misunderstand the meaning of following the Sahaba's methodology. Don't ever think the Sahaba methodology is small. It's very wide. It's very wide. As an example, as I told you, the scholar said, we follow their methodology, not their opinions. An issue like Salat al-Tarawih. Now, we pray 8 or 21 or 40 or whatever. You will look to the Sahaba. You will find the Sahaba. Some of them pray 21. Some of them 40. Some of them 36. Some of them 11, some of them 13. That's showing us that the certain number is not a something you should be stuck in it. You can do this, you can do it, make it you wider. Did you see that? But if somebody came say, Taraweeh is bid'ah, you're not allowed to pray Taraweeh. I said, no. He said the Prophet stopped himself from praying Taraweeh. We should stop from praying Taraweeh. Like Shia say. We said no. The Sahaba did not understand from the Prophet when he stopped after 3 nights, that means there is no more Taraweeh. No, they understood that it means he was afraid that Taraweeh became obligation in his ummah, so he didn't. But the Sahaba gave us the Salat Taraweeh to pray it. 40, to pray 13, to pray 11, they give you different, of the Sahaba has different opinion in it, so it make it for us wide circle. But if none of the Sahaba pray Taraweeh, let's imagine that. Is allowed for us to pray Taraweeh? No. That means the Sahaba understood from the Prophet, when you stop, it means no more. But since they do it, it make for us a permissible to do it. But still, it's a wide circle. It's not small circle. Therefore, the Sahaba's different opinions make the deen rahmah for the ummah. And they make it wide. They give a general statement. And again, I say, for the new issues, whatever new issues comes, not related to deen, it's not related to bid'ah and sunnah. Like trouser, like cell phone, like the microphone, like to buildings, lights. This is belong to the dunya, and the Prophet ﷺ said, "Antum a'lam bi umuri dunyakum." But when it comes to the religious issue, to the religion issue, that's different. No, we go back to see what Allah said, what the Rasul ﷺ said, what the Sahaba dealt with the matter. I'll give you an example related to some new issues. An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. And when he passed away, he didn't say it like a clear statement, nas, who is the Khalifa after him. He gave it almost clear that Abu Bakr. The Sahaba after him, the way they dealt with this matter, bi Khalifa, some of them he left it open.
Some of them said, that person is the Khalifa after me. That's it. Who's? Abu Bakr said, Umar Khalifa. No argument. No one argued. That's it. He said the Khalifa is Umar. Khalifa was Umar. He didn't make shura and say intikhabat. No. Umar is Umar. Umar, he made shura between six. So this different ways, it make it wider for the ummah, for that a particular issue, a new issue. Wallahi, nothing you will see in even related to some dunya issues until you will find the sahaba radhiyallahu anhu give something to lead you to the way. Just an example, when the argument about the earth is round or flat. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, in his time there's argument about this issue. Subhanallah. He used Ibn Abbas' statement to prove it's kurawiyya. He used, when he argued with some of the philosopher, he used Ibn Abbas, that Ibn Abbas said it's kalbayda, kalbayda. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ جَعَلَهَا كَالْبَيْضَ. It's like an egg. That's what Ibn Abbas said. That the way he understands the Quran. See, even though, but as much as we have knowledge about the Sahaba methodology statement, as much it would become wide to cover our life. But it doesn't mean at all that means we kill the ijtihad. No. All the scholars, they made this jihad based in the way they understand. Basically, you can make it in, I don't know if this statement will be 100% typical to what I have in my mind or not, but this, the way of the Sahaba, كيف هي أصول الاستدلال عند الصحابة, أصول النظر والاستدلال عند الصحابة, how they dealt with the دليل, how the Sahaba dealt with the دليل. For example, you cannot come today and create a way to understand the dalil. An example, different opinion between the Sahaba about the woman's face to be covered or not covered. No one allowed today to come to say covering her face is bid'ah, is not acceptable in Sharia. No, ya akhi, that's not acceptable from you. No one allowed to say she has to cover her face or she is such and such. No. Sahaba has different opinion. You have to respect these two opinions. But you don't come and create something never, يعني, where are you coming from? From the Quran. To say it's haram. No, the Sahaba understood something against you. But what if you came with something not against the Sahaba? Ijtihad, a new thing. An example. The Sahaba never classify the knowledge, the uloom. يعني the Sahaba, they don't have in nahu, grammars, fa'il, maf'ul, jar, majrur. They don't have. But their methodology is not against having such things. Because themselves, they make a new uloom. They create new knowledge, like asbab al-nuzul. أول من قعدها الصحابة رضي الله عنه. وعلوم القرآن وعلوم التفسير وعلوم الرواية, the رواية, the narration, the علوم, أول ما قعد الصحابة ففتحوا باب للاجتهاد, باب يبني عليه من بعده. لكن ما أحد يقول والله ترى ما يجوز نقول والله, ما أحد فهم هذا أبدا, بل الباب الذي فتح لهم باب الصحابة الذي ولجوا منه. So they have grammar, مصطلح حديث, فقه, all of this, it doesn't go against what they said, since it's just to complete the picture. What if they have dispute between them? قال الله تعالى فإن تنازعتم في شيء فردوه إلى الله والرسول. If there is dispute between them, go back to what Allah and Rasul have said. And the dispute between Sahaba is full of lessons. I wish that one of my lecture in this conference was about dispute between the Sahaba in certain issue to teach the Ummah how to respect the other opinion, how to make the deen easy for others. العلماء يقولون اختلاف الأئمة رحمة من وجه, وهذا كلام جميل لشيخ الإسلام رحمه الله. يقول الاختلاف رحمة من جهة كونه ساعة ورفع للحرج في الأمة. The dispute, it make it easy on people, not by choosing what I love, my desire. No, it make it easy because alhamdulillah, even though if you did this, there is another way of understanding. You've been, somebody did it like the Sahaba. So it make it easy on us. And Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah has a long research on that. But the main point is don't understand from easy rahmat, mercy for ummah mean that means you pick up whatever you like from the, no, you have to follow whatever has the dalil, not whatever is desire, your desire go with. Yani, this is, I hope inshallah I try to light it up, and the language is a big problem. This question from one sister, she said that she read a hadith al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith Abu Huraira أو أبو سعيد أو غيرهم في الصحيح البخاري that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in his pool or fountain there is some of a people will be rejected from drinking from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم's pool. She read it, the hadith is the Prophet said they are أصحابي. The translation was they are my companion, and this is not a right translation. أصحابي, the scholar says, it has two meanings. أصحابي يعني ممن هم من أمتي, يعني أتباعي, my follower. Other understanding, it is my companion, but those people who became kafir after the Prophet ﷺ died. Because some of the Sahaba, and he is not Sahabi anymore. Who is the Sahabi? First of all of this conference, I hope somebody told you, who is the Sahabi? The Sahabi is the one who met the Prophet ﷺ, believing in him, then he died as a believer, as a mu'min, upon that. If he died not upon that, we don't call him Sahabi. Abu Jahl, he saw Muhammad ﷺ, but he's not Sahabi. The Sahabi who died upon that. So even though if there is ridda between that, حتى لو تخللتها ردة. So that person who saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why the Prophet is alive? The Prophet passed away. He didn't know the future. He didn't know the ghaib. Then in the day of judgment, he said, "He was with me, my companion." The angel said, "No, he turned his back. He became kafir after you." So it's not from your sahaba. The angel freed the sahaba from those people who became murtaddin, because the sahaba is pure, as I told you, they are not belong to the sahaba anymore. Can I ask you a question? Ask you a question. Isa sahabi, Isa, he met the Prophet ﷺ, and Isa alive when he met him, and he didn't die yet, but he is sahabi. You have to think about whom. Ibn Hajar, he said he is Sahabi, but yeah, it's different opinion, because just to make your mind work a little bit. Now, this also a good question, because this is not only in Tariq al-Tabari, this is in many books, even hadith books. The Shia, a lot of the narration based on al-Hakim, وكان فيه تشيع رحمه الله, and other hadith. But the scholars said, those current others, and just to also to make it wider for you, that Tariq al-Tabari not only has certain narrations like this, has a narration goes against the aqidah. Like an example, في تاريخ الطبري, أن شعار المسلمين في يوم مؤتة كان محمدا محمدا. وهذا شرك بالله. نداء محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم شرك بالله في الغيب, إن في المعركة والنبي في المدينة يستغيث بمحمد إلى كفر, ومع ذلك هو روى هذه الرواية في تاريخه وغير. But the scholars narrate this narration for two great reasons. First, to tell you about the narration what the Shia are using or other group using, so you will know what's the the chain narration are. So you will know when somebody, if we don't have this in the Tariq al-Tabari, and somebody came from Shia or whatever, he came and he said, there is a narration said such and such about, we don't know, maybe you're right, maybe it's right. You know, we didn't have something about. But you see the narrators in al-Tabari, so you will know, because he wrote that for the people in his time. And his time, people will know who that narrator is. Because that time, the knowledge is not like today. Everybody can go and open. No, it was for a studio of knowledge. And other than them, they will take the pure knowledge from the scholars. The access to the source of the knowledge wasn't like this free for everyone. Now with the internet, you can go muhaddith.com, see everything. And this is something make problem for people. Therefore, Shatibi, he mentioned that after a while, he said, therefore the knowledge in the book, but the key for the knowledge in the scholar's chest. قال ومفتاحه في صدور الرجال. العلم في الكتب ومفتاحه في صدور العلماء. The key for this knowledge in the scholar's chest. So he narrate that narration, so you will know who's the narrator. You will be aware of it, so you can reject it or say this narration is not right because that. The second thing. The scholars, their way of ta'lif, their way of writing, is to collect in the history, not to choose. The way of their writing in the history in general, to collect, not to choose. Therefore, Imam Ahmad said, كانوا لا يدققون في المغازي والتاريخ. They were not checking the narrators when they talk about tariq or the ghazawat, the fights in the Prophet's some time. For example, you hear a story about Ja'far. We don't go to see who's the narrator and how's the authentic of this chin narrator, unless you want to use this as a proof, as evidence to say this is sunnah or bid'ah or wajib or an ifiq issue. But in general meanings, they were just narrating the tariq, the history, because it's very difficult to check the history. But this leads us to a very good point. Then when you look to the history, you have, before looking to the history, have a good background. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, I like this statement a lot. He said, I looked to the Ahlul Bidah. I found their knowledge based on the history book and the book of Adab, which is the literature, and the book of language. We're talking about poet and stuff like that. This is the book which Ahlul Bidah based their knowledge upon. Because there's a lot of thagarat, a lot of gaps you can go through. But Ahlul Sunnah always based their aqidah or fiqh based on a kutub al-sahih, kutub al-sunnah. No. There is a very good tape I would really recommend. It's in Arabic. Even I highly recommend this to be translated to English if there is a book like this been translated to English. It's called Talibul Ilm wa Tariq. This tape by Sheikh Salih bin Abdulaziz al-Sheikh. It's an excellent tape actually. Ismaha Talib al-Ilm wa Kutub al-Tariq. The context is, he said, we don't follow anyone 100%. There is no one we've been ordered to follow except Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as individual. Even Abu Bakr, you're not. There is nothing Sharia say. See, whatever Abu Bakr did, you follow. No. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum follow Abu Bakr in issue which is in Hajj. Wahu al-tamattu. To make Umrah, then make Hajj. Abu Bakr said, no. You make Hajj, don't make Umrah and Hajj, don't make tamattu. Then Umar said the same, following Abu Bakr, out of respect. He didn't know. Then Ibn Abbas told them, not Ibn Abbas only, even Umar's son, Abdullah ibn Umar, he told them, the Prophet ﷺ said, do Umrah and Hajj, tamattu. Then they said, but Abu Bakr said, he told him, wallahi, tushiku an taqa alaykum hijara min as-sama. Aqulu qala Rasulullah, wa taqulun qala Abu Bakr wa Umar. He told them, wallahi, you almost will be stone from the heavens. Stone come from the heaven, stoning you. I'm saying the Rasulullah said, you're saying Abu Bakr said and Umar? Because when it reached to something, to the Prophet's statement against one of the Sahaba, no way, we take the Prophet's statement and we take excuse for the Sahaba. So we don't, even Abu Bakr, I said, even Abu Bakr is the best Sahabi, we've not been ordered to just see whatever he said that means it's acceptable. No. Unless it go with the Kitab Allah and Sunnah Rasulullah. That's the what it is. This hadith is fabricated. This hadith is fabricated. موضوع حديث موضوع على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. الذي بالعربي حديث أصحابي كالنجوم بأيهم اهتديتم اقتديت. هذا حديث موضوع مكذوب على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. حكم بوضعه جماعة كالشوكاني وابن الجوزي. A lot of scholars like Shawkani ibn al-Jawzi said it's fabricated. And at least it's very weak يعني, in relation if it's not fabricated. Can women scholars teach me? Teach not me, men. طيب. Did not Ibn Taymiyyah, Imam Ahmad, have women teachers? That's allowed. If a woman is a scholar, she can teach you. That's okay. Ibn Asakir كان عنده من شيوخه 80 امرأة. شيوخ ابن عساكر منهم 80 امرأة. Ibn Asakir, the great hafiz of hadith, among his شيوخ 80 women, 80 teachers, 80 women teachers. I can challenge any religion, any civilization in the world has some scholars, has 80 teachers women, except Islam. لا توجد حضارة عرفتها تاريخ البشرية يوجد فيها عالم شيوخه وأساتذته فيها 80 امرأة مثل حضارة الإسلام. أم المؤمنين عائشة, she used to teach people. How? كانت تضع بينه وبينهم الستار وتدرس. عائشة, she used when they enter, مسروق said, she used when we enter, she put a garment between us, then she will address us. الإمام أحمد رحمه الله, since he mentioned أحمد, الإمام أحمد رحمه الله, he once in his time, there is a woman called رابعة العدوية. امرأة زاهدة خلاف ما يكذب عنها في كتب كثير من المتصور. لما مرضت, يشوف هذا, لأن للأسف عندنا بعض الإخوان عندهم حساسية من قضية النساء سيئة جدا, يعني سيئة للغاية. الإمام أحمد ذهب إليها فلما استأذن أرخت بينه وبينها الستار, فقال أحمد عظينا رابعة. أحمد يتلمس موعظة امرأة على فراش الموت, كانت واعظة مشهورة. أحمد entered to رابعة العدوية, he asked her, said with you, and when he entered she put a garment like between him and her, which is a curtain, and he said give me موعظة, remind me. Ahmed saying that. Then she starts reminding him until he starts crying. حتى قال تلميذه حتى بلل الدموع حجر ثوبه. His cry, his tear, make his garment, his lower garment wet. Then he left. رضي الله عنه ورحمه ورحمه جميع أئمة المسلمين. A woman, if she is doing like this way, that's okay. You teaching a woman, even whereas there's hijab, a woman not showing her fitna, and there is a partition, or there is at least a distance between you and them, at least a distance between you and them, and with hijab, that's Allah. Al-Imam Shaykh al-Islam bin Taymiyyah كانت تأتيه أم العباس فاطمة بنت الزينب وأم الزينب فاطمة بنت العباس وهذه امرأة فقيهة كانت تستحضر المغني عن ظهر قلب المغني 20 مجلد كانت تستحفظ عن ظهر قلب this woman فاطمة بنت العباس أم الزينب she used to memorize المغني this book authored by ابن قدامة ابن قدامة author a book it's called العدة this عدة like tools for the beginner then after that he make العمدة عمدة it's like there's something you rely on so it's for the next step then he author a book الكافي للمستكفين when you have knowledge enough you read in الكافي then he wrote المغني للمستغنين المغني this is for the يعني the highest level Ibn Daqiq al-Eid, the greatest Shafi'i Imam said, I never give fatwa, I didn't give fatwa until I had a copy from al-Mughni, al-Majmu' al-Muhallal ibn Hazm. After that, I was able to give fatwa. So al-Mughni, 20 value. This woman memorized almost the al-Mughni. When she came to Shaykh al-Islam bin Taymiyyah, his students say, وَكَانَ شَيْخُ الْإِسْلَامِ يَتَهَيَّبُ سُؤَالَاتِهَا Ibn Taymiyyah was يعني prepare himself for her questions very good questions so it can when it comes like wearing hijab in a nice right way there's nothing wrong with that but inshallah hopefully we having يعني hopefully these questions it has it's related to something real in the society بس don't يعني if there's شيوخ teaching said no I don't want to go to this sheikh I'm going to the sheikh Go to the sheikh first, inshallah. When you finish them, go to the sheikh. صوت المرأة, the woman's voice is not awra. It's not awra, but it is fitna when it's loud in the crowd. Therefore, she is not allowed to give adhan. She's not allowed to make iqama, to say ameen, to make talbiyah and hajj. Not because it's awra, no. Because in the crowded, there's so many people you don't know whose has a clean heart or not crowded like this she's not supposed to say that but Aisha talked many times front of the men Fatima a lot of the sahabiyah talked front of men there's nothing wrong a woman stand up to Umar said ya Umar you was mistaken for the mahar she was not al-athar لا ومصحح يا جماعة ابن تيمية رحمه يمكن عد في إسناد شيء لكنها من القصص المعروف and also اللهم صل على محمد there's one more thing I will add سفيان قال لا تخلون بامرأة ولو كنت تعلمها القرآن don't be alone with a woman even though if you're teaching her Quran It's not like I read recently in some books thing that a woman said she were her husband and some brother or people discussed issues about da'wah and stuff like that. Then her husband get tired. Then he said, I'll go to sleep. Then she stay alone all the night with them. It's not allowed. And this kind of thing is not allowed. We should have the limit of the shara. No. الرجاء توضيح المقصود باتباع الصحابة بكل ما قالوا وفعلوا وربط ذلك باجتهادات العمل الإسلامي في زماننا هذا على سبيل المثال هناك من يحضر مئات القصص الصحابة الذين قضوا حياتهم في سبيل الدعوة ولنا ويتخذ هذا النهج سبيل إقامة الدين في زمان هناك يحضر نفسه بالروايات عن الصحابة الذين قضوا في الجهاد واتبعوا الجهاد في سبيل الحلم طيب He basically saying the way of the صحابة also we get benefit from it in the da'wah way We should follow their steps and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم even in the da'wah matter. يقول شيخ الإسلام تيمية كلمة أيضا جميلة يقول وتعجب أن بعض الناس يتبع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في أبواب الفقه والعقائد لا في أبواب السلوك. people follow the Prophet in fiqh, in aqidah, but in suluk, which is that way you behave yourself, the way you behave with other, he follow his opinion, his desires, the Indian ways, the Western way, the Eastern way, the culture. No, you follow the Prophet in every, because religion, it means aqidah, fiqh, suluk. It means behaving, it means belief, it means fiqh rules. So you also follow the Prophet companion steps in every matter. هل يمكن أن يدخل الجن في الإنسان وكيف يمكن إخراجه وهل يمكن أن يدخل الجن الإنسان عن طريق أن يعمل شخص عمل أي حجاب لآخر. Asking if it's possible that the jinn will enter the human being's body, and how we can take it out, and it's possible that somebody can do this for somebody by magic. Entering the jinn to enter inside the human being's body is possible as the opinion of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and none of them said against that except a group called Al-Mu'tazila. They said it's impossible. Why? They said because jinn made of fire and human being made from mud, and impossible for fire to be inside the mud. And we said that's not a logic even. That's not a logic, because you are mud, but you are not mud. And An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَيَجْرِي مِنْ إِبْنِ آدَمَ مَجْرَ الدَّمِ. The shaytan running in you like the blood running inside you. And An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وهذا الحديث في مسند الإمام أحمد وصححه جماعة كبيرة من أهل العلم, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he passed by a woman has a child. She said, يا رسول الله إن ابني هذا مسر من الجن. فأعطت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إقط وعسل. إقط هذا نوع من الحليب المجفف معروف عند البادية, وعسل. وأكرمت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, فأمسك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بوليدها ونكسه وفتح فاه ونفث فيه وقال اخرج عدو الله إني رسول الله وشفي. بل جاءت في بعض الروايات أن هذا الغلام كان من أزكى أهل باديته, وهذه من معجزات النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, وذكر هذا من ذكر في دلائل نبوة النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. That the prophet passed by a woman, she said my child has something from jinn. Then the prophet opened his mouth and he flew in his mouth and he said عدو الله, Allah's enemy, get out of it. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said كالذي يتخبطه الشيطان من المس. He said about the one who eats riba is like a person who a jinn entering inside him, in the Quran. And more than that, an evidence nobody can argue with it. I remember in Bahrain I've been called for a debate. Me and one brother, I went to Bahrain with four doctors, أطباء علماء النفس, psychologist doctors. They said it's impossible. There's no jinn enter inside a human being. Then they arrange a debate. So I remember one of the things I told them, I would like to arrange this debate in one of the brother places where a people has this case so they can witness it. But they did it later on. I went to the first time, then they did it once again. And guess what? One of them, wallahi, he fell down. And there's jinn inside him. One of these four doctors. And the three doctors witnessed that by their eyes. And they make the report that person is not our doctor, is not our friend. And four of them were Shia, by the way. So, Go to any one of these people who are doing this. You will see by your eyes this fact. No argument. Therefore, Shaykh al-Islam يقول فَإِنَّ هَذَا دَلَّ عَلَيْهِ دَلِيلِ الْحِسُّ وَالْمُشَاهَدِ. Something, even the church, they do that. And they do that by using verses from the Torah and Injil, which has not been changed from Allah's words. And this is something all the scholars, generation after generation, mention it. But also, there is a lot of lie in this matter. People just whisper. I know that. Many women, people say, I have magic, I have jinn in my side. Nothing. He just dream. I agree with the doctors. There is 60% cases imagination. But still there are certain cases are real. And this is one of the sign of the mu'minin. They believe in the unseen, the ghaib, the jinn. والجن يؤذون الإنس وهذا وارد كثير. And the magic, it can be used by jinn, and this is a very common thing, and you need to spend much time. No, there is no marriage between ins and jinn. She said that we know that the sunnah, a man when he enters the first night in his marriage, he will put his hand on her head. Then he will say, oh my Allah, I ask you her good and save me from her evil. But don't pronounce this, this is not a good way. Save me from your evil. You know, nobody say that in front of his wife. You say it silently. She said, can I do that for him? Usually, he's the one who entered, not you. Usually, the man entered to the woman. Not he's not waiting and she will enter. I don't know, but I think the other way is the right way, that it, the hadith came that the man said that. But you can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give me from, I think that's what she mean, that she, I believe that's what she mean. Can I pray that dua, say, oh may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me the good, whatever good in you, and save me from whatever evil in you? Yeah, you should do that. And as far as I know, this is not from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is some of the Sahaba did that, I think is Anas. It's not from the Sunnah, the two rak'ahs prayers. This is from the Sahaba. The Prophet, he didn't pray two rak'ahs as many people thought it's Sunnah. It's some of the Sahaba did it. Jazakum Allah khair, subhanaka rahimdika, shalayin, safaruk.